Family dynamics are complex. As a parent, one of the things that I hoped would happen when my children were raised was that they would go out and be successful adults. They would have families, and they would have good jobs, and they would pay their bills, and they would stay out of trouble, and they would go to church, and then, you know, on and on and on and on. Well, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And as parents, a lot of times what happens is that we have this vision for our children, and if they don't live out the vision, we want to say to them, you're not doing it right. You have to do it this way or you're not successful. And as I sort of contemplated this gospel, and this is one of my favorite gospels because there's just lots going on. And so as I sat and talked about it and thought about it in my own head, nothing came to mind except this family dynamic that was going on. Essentially, what the younger son said to his father when he said, I want what's coming to me, is you are dead to me, and so I want my inheritance. And the father, being a good parent, said, okay, here you are, off you go, have a good time. And he did, and he indeed squandered it. And being a good son, he thought about it, and he came to his senses, and he said, you know, I want to go back. I will tell my father I don't deserve to be his son, but just let me be like a hired hand so that I can be here. And the father, who has been on the mountains looking for his son, this happened. My sense is that he did this a lot, that he went out and waited for his son, looked for him and hoped for him. That's what parents do. We have hope for our children. And of course, when he came, he was excited and celebrated and happy, and he said, welcome home, let's have a party. And so they did. Probably surprised the younger son. And then we have the older son. You know, Dad, I've been here every day. I've worked hard. I did what you asked. I never complained. He doesn't sound like a very jolly person either. He probably didn't complain, but he was probably grumpy the whole time. You know, here I am, Dad. And then the father, again, breaking another taboo. He went to talk to the son. That didn't happen in those days. Dad didn't go out. Kid came in. So he left the party. Come on, kid, shape up. He's your little brother. He's back. We should celebrate. Now, we don't know the rest of the story. In my mind, in Jesus' mind, I think that the older brother went in, and in order to sort of honor his father's wishes, he went to the party, and he sat in the corner and was grumpy, but he was there. And then after the party, he and his younger brother went out to the woodshed and had a conversation. Family dynamics, that's how they work sometimes. But here's another vision. God our Father who has created us out of love, and then everything was perfect. And then he tossed in free will. And oh boy. I read a book a while ago. It was called God's Shrink. It's a little book, literally. It's about this big. And the premise of the story is that God comes and talks to a psychotherapist. It's really kind of an interesting story. He just shows up. He's dressed in flannels and blue jeans. He comes to this doctor and he says, I'd like to have 10 sessions, I'll pay it in cash, and I just want to talk about some things. And so the psychotherapist sits down with him, starts talking, and he says, you can call me Joshua. Okay, Joshua, what's going on? Well, I'm God, and I need to talk to somebody. So immediately the psychotherapist goes, this guy's getting ready to have, you know, a psychotic break, and started to try and diagnose him. And in the course of the conversation, the psychotherapist talked to him about, you're God, why don't you fix things? And the character of God in the book says, you know, this what's going on now isn't the vision I had when I created this world. I had a different vision for it. But I see myself as sort of an architect. I build it and I create it, and then I step back and see what happens. This isn't what I had in mind. As a parent, this isn't what I had in mind. I had bigger hopes and bigger dreams. But free will gets in the way. And so the younger son exercised his free will and went off and blew it, and exercised his free will and came back seeking forgiveness of his father, and his father, exercising his free will, gave it freely. And the older brother, exercising his free will, was grumpy. He was loyal but grumpy and not very joyous. We get to choose how we enter into our faith. We get to choose how we enter into the Catholicism that we own. We are challenged by it. I'm challenged by it every day. Not only because of the news that keeps coming, but because of the challenges that I face and try to live it out as authentically as I can. And it's not always easy. But I understand in my heart of hearts that God loves me. And God always loves me. Whether I am the prodigal son, whether I'm the older grumpy son, whether whoever I am, God the Father has taken me in and loves me with everything and always. So we get to choose. We are in the Lenten season, absolutely. It is a penitential season. Fast, prayer, almsgiving. But Jesus tells us how to do that too. Don't let people know what you're doing. Just do it joyfully. Because it's not about the process. It's about how you enter into it. Here's a confession moment, so don't tell anybody I told you this. There was a long time when I was an adult that I stopped going to Mass. Because the parish that my folks went to, and I was living with my mom and dad, helping mom with my father at that time, the parish they went to, it was awful. The Alleluia, when they had the Alleluia before the Gospel. I know you're not supposed to use that word, the A word, during Lent, but I did. It was terrible. It was like, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. I said, if you're Alleluia people, you're dead. So I just quit going. And my mom, bless her heart, said, given what you want to do with your life, don't you think you should go to Mass once in a while? I said, yeah, you're probably right. And if it nurtured me, I would go. So part of the challenge for me was to get into that space where I could find the nurturance despite the challenges. And, well, here I am. So something must have shifted, right? I chose to enter into it, to become that A person, that Alleluia person, to enter into it joyfully. With God's help, with God's support, and the support of the people around me, I understand God's love more fully than I have. It's not perfect. I too can be a prodigal son. But God loves me, and the forgiveness is there if we seek it. If we seek it, that's the peace. The younger son could have stayed there forever, and the father would have continued to go to the mountain to wait for him. But somewhere in the younger son's heart, he understood that his father would take him in, that he would forgive him. And so he came back, not wanting much, hoping, but seeking, as we do. Seeking God's forgiveness, hoping for God's forgiveness, knowing that God's love covers us all the time. So as we continue to move through Lent, here's the question that I perennially ask when I see this gospel. Who are you? And what would you like to become?